Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Welcome, everybody. This is Beyond the Numbers. My name is Will. This is Ben. Today, we're going to be doing something a little bit different. It's called Ben's Top 10. We will be introducing segments into these episodes so we can really hone in on what you guys want to hear. A lot of these episodes will be me and Ben ranting and raving about our teams, but...
There's lots of content.
Yeah, it would also be us giving you more of what you want to hear from us, our specialties per se on what these episodes will be about. But introducing Ben's Top 10. Ben, you want to take it away?
Yes, sir. So Ben's Top 10 will be a focus on different topics. It could be top 10 teams, top 10 players, top 10 stories, top 10 matchups. I mean, it really is kind of a combination of different things. And I think having episodes or segments about this will allow us to kind of break down for you guys where we see things as they are, like in order of like from worst to best or best to worst, however we would go with it. And tonight, because we are getting into the NFL season full tilt now, we're starting to see the teams begin to make some adjustments, start to see who's going to actually start to possibly come out on top a little more than the others. And we're going to kind of break down in this first Ben's 10. Ben's Top 10 is going to talk about the NFL. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at 10 teams in the NFL that I feel like are very competitive, that are going to go far, why I think they're going to go far, different factors behind that. So I think what we'll do is we'll start with what I think is probably going to be the best team in the league, the team that I think probably has the best chance, in my opinion, to win the Super Bowl. And even though – and this can change. So I might be like 10 right now, and then, you know, the next time we do one of these, it might change. So it's never going to be the exact same. It's not set in stone. There's a sliding scale here. But I think if we were to look at the teams as a whole and who has the best chances of getting to that level to be the number one team, I think I have to say it's going to be the Philadelphia Eagles. A repeat sounds crazy. I don't know if you would agree with me on that, Will, but I think that if any team is likely to repeat right now, it would be the Eagles.
I think that the Eagles can repeat, but they're going to have an issue if Jalen Hurts doesn't start putting the ball in the air. I'm sorry. The one-trick pony stuff is not going to work this year. I don't see it happening. So if they want to keep on running the ball and just keep on trying to run it up people's throats, go ahead, but ain't no repeating.
Well, my thing, though, is if you look at the division, they have the 0-3 Giants. And they have the 1-2 Cowboys, which the Giants, not really a surprise. However, the Cowboys at 1-2 going into week 4, they got my Packers this coming weekend. I'm a little excited about that because I do think personally we're going to win. But regardless of that, the Cowboys aren't looking too swell. The Commanders would be the number one team that would compete with the Eagles, I think, not only just in the division, but also I think in the NFC. I think that the Eagles right now are poised to have more of a breakout. The game against the Rams is something that I think a lot of people would say is more of a shout out to how the Rams played. But truth be told, I really think it's more of how the Eagles were resilient. They won in an uncommon manner, you know, a whole blocked field goal, block kick that was returned by a big man. You know, shout out to the big fellas. But
yes, sir. Big man teddies are always exciting. I know I had to pause you right there because we got to let that breathe. Big man teddies are definitely it.
Preach. You, exactly. I mean, there's something fun about watching a dude that you know shouldn't be able to run 50, 60 yards down the field like that, just hustling. Like, that man was running. You know, of course, yes.
It was the only part of that game that I liked. It was the only part of that game that I liked. But other than that, the Eagles played horribly to me, and they barely even deserved that win. The only reason I'm going to say that they deserved it is because Jalen Hurts started doing what he was supposed to do. But
And that's my point. The Eagles are just now starting to open it up. Week one, nothing but rushing. Week two, a little bit of passing in there, but primarily, again, rushing. Week three, hey, it's like, all right, defenses are figuring it out. So they're not running Saquon into the ground. Last year, that man was running play after play after play. And They've changed it up, and they got to get AJ Brown involved in this, man. Like, I don't know why they haven't really got him into it like that. I mean, that man is going to be an explosive receiver for them. I think he's going to be a difference maker. But I mean, he's got so many guys that can catch the ball, and that's not including, you know, Saquon, who can catch too. I mean, I'm just talking about his main receiving targets. He's fast. I mean, he's very. My opinion, he's very good. I mean, I would put him on par with Lamar in his mobility. And maybe in some ways, I mean, especially with the tush push, you know.
I like Jalen Hurts. There's no beef with Jalen Hurts. I think the Phillies deserved that Super Bowl win last year.
They did.
The problem is that one trick pony stuff, that is not going to fly with me this year. It flew with me last year because they were still getting the dubs and they were dominating teams. You're not going to dominate this year. Without the pass.
So
dude, I'm sorry.
If it with that, then where would you rank them? Would you wouldn't rank them number one, I'm guessing?
Ooh, I wouldn't rank them number one. I'd put them at maybe three or four. But that's just my opinion. This is Ben's
time. Really?
I'm not.
Okay. So
y'all don't want Will's top 10. Will's top 10 is gonna have y'all shot.
well, you know. I feel like that when we look at the Eagles, they're coming in. They came in game one against the Cowboys, and this is something I know I've already said, but I still believe it. They came in and they were ready to play. They came in with a vengeance. They came in angry, and they came in my opinion, and set a bar pretty high for themselves in regards to how they wanted to be seen. They wanted to be seen as aggressive because that's what I think they needed. Because I think a lot of people, like, last year looked at the Eagles' defense and thought, like, that's not what got them there. Like, it was Saquon. You know, it was the offense. It was Jalen Hurts getting flashy. That one trick thing that you talk about, I think, is what that a lot of people, that's what they seen. Last year, the defense wasn't as scary. I think this year, the defense is just trying to show and have that image. And they started it with the epic story of Dak getting spit on, okay? And ever since then, that defense is just looked at as a nasty defense. And I respect it. They are a good team. And I think that ranking them number one is realistic when you look at what they've done so far. Yes, it was a close game against the Rams, but the Rams are 2-1. And they are 2-1 because they are capable of getting it done. And so I guess I just look at it like, I think that they are a team that we can't ever count out. And any game that they're in, I think, is something where I think they come in as a favorite. There's not too many games on their schedule that I would honestly sit there and be like, oh man, they're just going to have a rough go of it. I mean, they got coming up next, they got the Bucks, right? They got the Bucks who are sitting there at 3-0, and they are a scary team, but they're a team that's injured. They're a team that's beat up a little bit. I don't think it's going to be hard. The Broncos have a good defense, but I'm sorry, that offense ain't going nowhere. Who do they play next? They play Giants. I mean, we're at week 6. Realistically, 6-0. Then they play the Vikings in week 7. Ah, it's a toss-up. We'll have to see how the team is. You know, is Aaron Jones going to be back? Is J.J. McCarthy going to be playing quarterback, or is it going to be Carson Wentz? You know, then they play the Giants again. So you're looking at 7-1 or 8-0 right there. And then you get into that second half of the season, and again, there's a lot of dubs there. I think that at most, they drop a game maybe to Detroit, maybe drop one to the Commanders, depending on how things are going, and they maybe drop one to the Bills, and then maybe the Chargers. So if we're being honest, all the way, because their bye week's week 9, they could end up going into the bye week undefeated. And then coming into week 10, my Packers, as much as I want to root for them, I would say that they're going to win. I think it's going to be very different by that part of the season. We'll know if the Green Bay's got it or not. That's a toss up. They play Detroit after that, and they play Dallas. And I think they could drop one or two of those. So I think they could drop either the Detroit game and or the Dallas game. I think they'll steamroll Chicago, because I think Chicago's going to fall off even with that crazy win against Dallas. Then they got the Chargers. That's a tough game. Then they got the Raiders. That should be an easy enough game. Then they have the Commanders, Bills, and Commanders. 3 very difficult games to end the season. The first game is on the road to Washington. The second game on the road to Buffalo. That's a lot. And then they end up at home against the Commanders again. So when you look at their schedule and their overall status, you know, standings coming into that, just from where they are now, I don't think they're going to lose a lot of these games. The only thing that I think will happen that could be a problem is they haven't been able to win their games in big ways. They won against Dallas 24-20. That was expected. It was a slugfest. You expected it that way. They beat the Chiefs 20-17. Again, you're talking about the rematch of the Super Bowl. You know, in week 2, in a team like that, Kansas City, excuse me, there we go. And then 26-33 on a lucky play, in my opinion. I believe most blocked field goals are just pure luck. Bad timing by the offense, by the kicking team, and the defense is able to capitalize every so often. That's why the percentage is so low of those ever happening. But there was other reasons that I could say that I think the Eagles are a number one team, because at the end of the season, you're talking 3, maybe 4 losses, potentially less than that, from the Super Bowl team. I think their schedule benefits them. And whilst that would maybe make me think of saying, hey, maybe they should be number 2, because then maybe they're not quite, they're benefiting a little too much. But at the same time, I don't know that I think that I would put them outside of number 1 right now. I mean, we're talking about the reigning Super Bowl champs.
Hey, I get it. I definitely get it. It's completely agreeable. It's not like you're not making complete sense. It's just, in my opinion, when you play down, you go down on the list. That's it. And that's where the Eagles are at with me right now. But of course they're going to go up. Of course they're going to continue to dominate teams. And of course they're going to move up on my list. But it's just right now, my number one team is completely opposite.
Okay. So the one thing that, and this is the thing that I was torn on. So my number 2 team, I spent a lot of time looking at the different teams and kind of figuring out where I wanted to go with it. So one thing, the Eagles, they have, for a 3-0 record, they've only been able to score 77 points on those 3 games. And they've given up 63. That margin is literally just 14 points. And that's not a good look for the Eagles. But the thing is they still win, right? And in some ways, maybe they win in ways that are more important, because
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
They win on the, they won against Dallas instead of Tone. Right? That's my thing. The other thing that I looked at though, when I was looking at, okay, who would I possibly put at number two or who would I put at number one? I was looking at some of the top scoring teams, and right now there's a lot of really high, or there's not a lot, there's a handful of really high scoring teams that are even in triple digits yet. But I think number two is going to be Buffalo. I think Buffalo is poised to have a really good year if they can figure out how to get, they need to get Josh Allen some help. I mean, they don't have, in my opinion at least, they don't have the offense around him. You have Cook. Don't get me wrong. Cook's a beast. He's doing really well. He's got, what, I think three touchdowns. He's great, but where's his receiving help? I mean, if we look at their roster, I don't see a whole lot of help there. I mean, Keon Coleman's good. He's got 14 catches so far on the year for 158 yards, but the man only has one touchdown. That's not good. You got Dalton Kincaid.
That's because he's not getting targeted. That's not
exactly.
He's not good.
But he's not getting targeted because defenses are locking him down. Dalton Kincaid is probably the main target. Don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking Shakir, but Dalton Kincaid is, he's got 13 receptions, 151 yards, and he's got two touchdowns. So he is getting a vast majority of that work because he's the big man. He's a red zone threat. James Cook, I apologize, he has four touchdowns. He's ran the ball 53 times in three games. Now, that's just a little under 20 a game. So, I mean, he's not having a crazy high workload. He's got 284 yards, so he's averaging 5.36. So that means if he runs the ball two times, he's getting a first down every time. Now, granted, he's obviously not going to maintain that every single play. But his average is there. And then Josh Allen, he's ran the ball 24 times for 114 yards, and he's got two touchdowns. Six touchdowns just on the ground between them two. And when you look at the other receiving core, Palmer, he ain't doing much. You got Samuel, and you got Shakir, and you got Coleman and Shavers, you know, but most of these guys aren't getting those targets. It's a combination of Kincaid or even Knox when Knox is healthy. I don't know. I just, when I look at it, I think, you know, who is going to help him? You know, Shakir has one touchdown. He has that one touchdown catch, 121 yards on 11 receptions. They're getting the yards, but these guys are not getting into the end zone. They're not finishing the drives in the red zone through the air. They're having to get down there, and then they're having to get a way to run it in because they're not getting the big plays through the air. So they're having to run. So they're limited a little bit. Their depth at receiver is not quite as good as Philly. Would you agree with that?
I'm going to say, first off, I agree that they're the number two team in the league. So this isn't like a slight TFX. But this is to say their receiving core is a beast. Why they're not finishing off in the with the big plays, I have no clue. But I don't think it has anything to do with, like, talent. Like, I don't think it's anything to do with their receiving core. I think it's just they're not finishing the plays. Like, the plays just aren't finishable. The ball's not going far enough down the field. They have to break too many tackles, whatever it may be. But Khalil Shakir, That's the key. He's one of their ones. He's one of those. That's why I was trying to let you clean up a little bit, because Khalil Shakir is definitely one of those ones where when he gets the ball, it's usually extra yardage regardless. Yards after catch is crazy. And then Keon Coleman, he's the same way. He's a dominant force out there. Dalton Kincaid is another threat, an absolute threat out there. I mean, they have the tools. And the only reason why they haven't seen the big show yet is because when they come down to the Chiefs and the Mahomes magic, they just can't get past it. That's really the case. If we're thinking about it logically, it's Mahomes and the Chiefs are the Bills' kryptonite. Everybody else, they go off.
Yep. I mean, let's look at what happened with the Ravens game where they played them, right? It was an amazing game. I mean, I loved it. The Ravens are 1-2. They put up more points so far on the year than the Bills, yet they lost to them. Their defense is arguably really good. And but they've given up more points than the Bills. So the only thing that I kind of go back to with the receivers is there's no clear cut number one. There is form. Obviously, they have a number one, but all of the receivers get the ball. The problem is it in these games when they go up against a competitive defense. Allen finds it harder, I think. I can see it when I watch him. Like, he makes his reads, and he's not finding he's having a harder time, I think, getting a good, solid target. He doesn't have somebody outside of, in my opinion, his tight ends that he really, truly looks to. He does a lot of check downs, I feel like. And, of course, they really run the ball a lot. He scrambles a lot. I mean, the man's got two touchdowns. And he's over 100 yards on the ground. I mean, he's putting up running back numbers. I think that when I look at the Bills, the one thing that they've struggled with, especially after they lost Diggs. Now, the difference is if we had Stephon Diggs back the way he played a few years ago in Buffalo with the receiving core that's around him, I think they'd be unstoppable. I mean, Cook's amazing. Their defense is really good. Not necessarily the highest by any stretch, or the best when it comes to points against them, but they're also nowhere near the worst. They are very competitive and they do really well about making the key stops when they have to. You look at that game against the Ravens, though, again, the defense, they got the key stops when it mattered, but the Bills had to keep up and the defense just kept making it hard for them. They had to run the ball. I mean, that's what the Bills do, and they do it really well. I would almost even go out on a limb and say that the Bills have one of the best running back quarterback setups right now in the league. I think Lamar and Derrick Henry are struggling. Jalen Hurts and Saquon, I mean, yeah, they're doing good, but even that, not quite what I think of when I think of how Josh Allen and James Cook do it.
I would say I agree, just because when we're comparing Lamar, Jalen, and Josh Allen, there's only one completely well-rounded quarterback in that scenario, if we're being honest.
And that's Josh Allen.
Josh Allen, he can scramble with the best of them. He can pitch that ball off with the best of them. He can go all the way deep down the field with the best of them. The only thing that's different between these cores is the fact that the quarterbacks aren't as effective as Josh Allen. You see what I'm saying? Like Derrick Henry, he would be way more effective if he wasn't the primary threat on the field. They all know that Lamar and Derrick Henry are going to try to scramble out, so it's easy to stop them. Same thing with Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley. But with Josh Allen and the Bills, you have no clue what they're about to do until they do it. And I love the fact that they mix up their receiving cores. I love the fact that he may not target the same person every time. Why? Because it makes it even more unpredictable, which is why they have high scoring games.
And that's why I put them at number two, because they don't have that clear cut player. So it's harder for a defense to game plan, which I think is, I know we've talked about this even last year. Josh Allen's really good at extending plays and making things happen. He's good at going against, he's unorthodox. Like, he's a type of quarterback, whenever you, when you see him, you think he's going to be very orthodox in how he plays. He is not. He is a very big, lumbering dude who yet runs like he runs like a freight train, in the sense that he is just hard to stop. Like, the man could play tight end for sure, but you know, regardless, I put them at number two because of the fact that they're so diverse. They have the ability to do so many different things. The only thing I think that would really hurt them right now, outside of obviously like losing Josh Allen or Cook, would be if that, you know, that the offensive line just really starts to fall apart. Because the one thing about Josh Allen that he does struggle with, I think, is when he rolls out and he's looking for that big play, a lot of times he just winds up inevitably taking it and running for it. He has several times over his time in the league, he's made many, I think, bad decisions that have cost them games in regards to determining, oh, maybe I should just run, or maybe I should just pass, and he goes with the run. He's missed on some key, crucial plays in my mind. But I think this is their year. I said it last year, I think it really was their year. I think it was just the Chiefs, like you said. It's something about the Chiefs. But I don't think that's going to happen this year. And I got many reasons why that I would. There, if I was going to do my top 10 on worst teams, we'll get to that one day. But right now, Chiefs would be right at the top. Number three, this one was a tough one, okay, because I think maybe we could both agree on this. Like, when you're looking at the top two teams, like, you're probably going to say Philadelphia and Buffalo right now. Like, that's a logical decision. Like, they're the best teams, are healthy, they're well-rounded.
Not for me, but go off.
Okay. Well, number three was tough. There's several teams that are still undefeated. But I think before I even go to another undefeated team, I kind of want to go and put Detroit in here. They're 2-1. They got that loss to Green Bay, but I think Detroit sits at number three. It might be a bit unconventional when you're looking at the other undefeated teams, but here's my thing. Detroit, and if I'm being honest, even as a Packers fan, Detroit should have beat Green Bay. They should have won that game. They were the better team, but Green Bay did have a very good dynamic. They still do. But I think that Detroit is easily a very competitive NFC team, and a competitor that would give one of the competitors that could give Philadelphia a run for their money in the NFC. They have Montgomery and Gibbs, who are just, I'm sorry, but I don't think there's a better running back duo in the league. They don't do just like a timeshare. Like, they do a timeshare, but like, it's not just like, okay, we're going to give our main guy a break. No. You don't know who the main guy is going to be. And then Jared Goff, he's a veteran. He's very skilled. He's got a great offensive line, and he can make plays happen. Amon-Ra St. Brown, I don't even have to say anything. The man is a beast as a receiver. I mean, he ain't no Calvin Johnson, but he's really, really good. You know, and we're not gonna he's like a surgeon when he runs his routes. He cuts through it like a knife cuts through butter, man. Like, it's crazy. He's got good hands. And I think when they played the Ravens, you could see like there were some plays that didn't go very well for him, and you could tell like he was beating himself up on it because he knew that he should have done better, and it didn't go right. And he just continued to rebound, and he got better. Every mistake led to a success, and Goff knows how to utilize that. And I mean, he's just scary. Their defense is unquestionably a really good defense. I mean, Aiden Hutchinson, when that man's on the field, I mean, it's like having Myles Garrett or Michael Parsons or any other player that you know that gets the type of pressure. I mean, Aiden Hutchinson reminds me a lot of old J.J. Watt. I think a lot about that comparison, and it's he's a scary man, and their defense is very well rounded. They do have some flaws. One of those is that they struggle, I feel like, in keeping their secondary under control.
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with leafy greens and good intentions, only to have our future self sacrifice quality nutrition for the convenience of takeout. Keep your body and mind nourished all day with a whole body meal shake from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But the best part? It actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood-packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai, to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you've got endless ways to personalize your Kachava. Whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee, with every 2 scoops of Kachava, you're getting 85 plus superfoods, nutrients, and plant-based ingredients. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags with code NEWS at kachava.com. That's 30% off for a limited time at kachava.com, code NEWS.
They lose control in the secondary, and that's where defenses start to eat them up, because they can throw pressure all day and they could smoke a quarterback. But if quarterback has a little bit of time with a good offensive line and a running back duo like Gibbs and Montgomery that just doesn't get tired, it doesn't matter. And again, they were going up against Lamar and Derrick Henry. They were going up against the Ravens, who are struggling to find out what their receiving situation is going to look like, because they've got some great players. You got Zay Flowers. You got Rashad Bateman. You got old D-Hop. You got Mark Andrews. You got Isaiah Likely. You got Derrick Henry. I mean, you would think that's the road to success.
We'll get to the Ravens, because I got some things to say. But as for the Lions, say hello to my number one team. Number one team in the league for me is the Lions, man. Consistent high scoring games. The running back core is top notch. Jared Goff is an absolute beast at quarterback. He just can't be on the run too much. You know, he's not that mobile. But he even got mobile in that game versus the Ravens.
He does.
Like we're talking about a team that when they're on fire, I don't see nobody beating. I don't care if it's the Eagles, the Ravens, the Bills, any of them. Like when they get on fire, that's them. Hold on, let me backtrack a little bit. The Bills will give them a run for their money. But that's just because the Bills have the same. Have the exact same pretty much core. They have the same team. They do the exact same thing. The Lions spread the ball out just like the Bills do.
I disagree on one thing. They do not have the running back duo
The running back duo, but they do have Josh Allen, who is a mobile quarterback, and James Cook, who is a running back beast. So I'm just saying, in general, if I was to compare a team to the Lions, in my opinion, it would be the Bills. Because other than that, Lamar and Derrick Henry don't impress me as much as they did when they first started out together. You know, the first few games, they impressed me to high heavens. But then it just fell off somewhere at the end of the year. And at the beginning of the year, this year, you know, we're seeing the exact same thing. It's that one-trick pony thing that I keep saying about the Eagles. It's the same thing about the Ravens, but as soon as Lamar starts using all of his tools in his arsenal, they start winning and they start scoring touchdowns. It's not just about the runs, man. I get it. Running backs are top tier, but they're not everything. You have wide receivers out there for a reason. They're out there cutting routes and all of that. And like, sometimes the quarterback just ignores it. I don't like it. I do not like it.
With you on that, I don't disagree. And, you know, it's not like that the Lions don't have a good number two. They got Jameson Williams. I mean, he's not Sam Brown, but you don't have to be. And he does.
Williams is so much of a threat in my eyes. Like, he shouldn't even be number two. But if they made him number one, then he wouldn't be able to get the ball as much. You see what I'm saying? Like, I love when Jameson Williams makes all the big plays, all of them.
So one thing One thing that I like, and don't get me wrong, as an NFC North fan of the Packers, right, it hurts to say this, but Jared Goff, whenever he came to Detroit, I used to sit there and say, well, Green Bay is about to run this division because they went and got Goff. The dude was terrible with the Rams. I'm sorry. There's a reason he left. And they parted ways with him without putting up really much of a fight. Goff came to Detroit, and he's every year he's improved. He's not really went through regression. He's gotten better. And Dan Campbell, my God, that man is such a genius as a coach, I think, because it isn't about the fact that he makes the best calls. It's the way that that team is built. Here's the thing. Look at these guys here. They could go anywhere. Amon-Ra St. Brown, he could go to literally any team he wanted, probably. Gibbs, Montgomery, anywhere they wanted to go. And they would get paid probably more than what they get now, but they stay in Detroit because they do have this atmosphere there in Detroit that everybody talks about. Whenever you watch all these big shows, they talk about Dan Campbell, his energy, his dynamic, the way he approaches. He is a team builder, and he boosts that team. And they've kept such a core of their guys together, and you know. They're not, we can't even forget, you have Sam Laporta out there. So it's not like he's just stuck to his receivers. He's got Laporta out there, and Laporta is a really good tight end. I think he's a very good replacement for TJ Hockenson. Hockenson was becoming injury prone, I feel like, and he was getting older. They replaced him with Laporta, and Laporta is in his fourth year, and he is phenomenal. I've picked him many times in fantasy, and one day we'll get into the fantasy aspect of it. But he is a tight end that I would choose many, many times again. And I mean, then you got to look at their defense. Again, Aiden Hutchinson, he is such a scary man out there. And I mean, their cornerbacks are not to be messed with either. I mean, you got Reed out there. He's doing really well. Granted, you know, he's not made any picks or anything, but I mean, he's dangerous out there. I look at a team like this that I look and I think, man, like, scary. I mean, Brian Branch out there as a safety, he's pretty solid. I mean, I could go on and list off more of their players, but it's not really relevant. Just, I feel like they are the number three team, and I think that as the number three team, being in the top three is a podium, depending on what sport it is. Like, if you're running a race, you know, you want to shoot for at least coming in third. You know, you want the bronze. You know, and at the end of the day, if you can consistently be a top three team, you're going to win eventually. You're going to land there. It's just going to be a matter if they can do it consistently. I think they have one of the best well-rounded teams when it comes to offense and their defense. And if they would just give maybe one extra like weapon out there for like that pressure, because Aiden Hutchinson's a beast, but imagine if you threw like a second player out there that was closer to his skill level, I think they could could push for an undefeated season, honestly, if they just stay
healthy. The Lions are a real unstoppable team, sir, which is why I say my top team would be the Lions.
And the only reason I can't do that,
number three would be the Eagles.
The only reason I can't do that, sir, is because they lost to the Packers.
I get it.
And that reflects more badly on the Packers, not because the Packers won. That doesn't help it. We're talking about this as a top 10 team, and the Packers, I want to get to here in a minute, but the Packers just haven't looked right after that. That was their best game this year, in my opinion. And that's all there is to say on that. So, top three, Philly, Buffalo, Detroit. Top three teams that I could easily see being in the Super Bowl. Number four, we go back to the undefeated, and I tossed this one around too. But I decided to go with the Chargers, and that's because I think the Chargers were an underdog team coming into this. I think they weren't expected to perform and definitely not be 3-0. Frankly, it's been thanks to their defense that they won as many of the games as they have, not knocking Herbert in that offense, but their defense has kept them alive. They've only given up 50 points, and that is, I believe, one of the lowest or one of the best numbers right now in the league. It's not quite number one, but it's one of the best. So I would definitely say that that is
I like the team. I like the pick. I do. Wouldn't say that they would be at number four for me, specifically because we all know that's scary. Like, they're 3-0 right now, but let's watch the decline, okay? Like, let's just watch this happen, okay? That's about it. But on the same token, I like the pick just because they have been showing out for the last few games, whether it be defensively, offensively. They've shown that they're a contender in some sorts.
Well, and again, this, like I said earlier on, this will fluctuate through the season. And right now, they're at where they are coming into this week four. They are the fourth best team in the league, in my opinion.
I like it. At
this point.
I like it.
And I don't think we really have to argue too much as to why, because again, they're not supposed to be there. They're not supposed to be undefeated, and they don't put up that many points. They only put up 70 points there. So 70 points compared to 50. That's given up. That's crazy. It's a 20-point difference. Number four was the Chargers. Number five, and this is where I start to get a little bit torn, because you're getting in the middle of the road. So number five for me was Tampa. I almost went with the Niners, but there's a reason why I didn't. The Bucs are a very good team. The Bucs are an injury-riddled team. So that right there does not put them up higher. That is the thing. They are going to struggle. There are some inconsistencies there that are problematic. They barely beat the Texans, and the Texans are a winless team right now. And the Texans were getting after them. That offensive line has been beaten. And they look like an end-of-the-season offensive line right now. And we're going into week four. Tristan Wirfs will make a difference when he's back out there playing, but they can't stay healthy. And that is the problem that will be the downfall of the Bucs. Mike Evans is hurt. He's out. He's probably still going to have another 1,000-yard season because, well, he is Mike Evans. But Cade Otton hasn't been performing to the level that he was last year. You know, I get it. He got to warm up a little bit. But, like, man, we're going into week four. Like, he better break out soon. You know, Bucky Irving's doing really well. But, I mean, the man can only do so much. The Texans were the real showing. They put their money where their mouth was when it came to how they want to play that defense. They want to throw pressure at opposing quarterbacks, and they want to lock down the run. And they didn't do it the best, but you've seen how much he had to run. It was crazy. They do not have the support from their offensive line to be more than number five right now, because that, if it wasn't for Baker's ability to make some plays, extending the play, making some throws, getting out and running himself, I think they would be in a lot of trouble right now, and they would not be 3-0. They barely have outscored their opponents. They've scored 72 points and they've given up 66. That's literally a terrible margin. That means you're barely winning your games. So when you look at that, number five is tough, but I gave them number five because I think more so than San Francisco is at least they have a quarterback that they is good and will be good, and they're not having to kind of hope that, you know, their backup will fill in until he gets back out there, you know. And then when Brock Purdy comes back, because the Niners are number six, so we'll just kind of lean into it. But when Brock Purdy comes back, then they got to hope that everything else continues to work. CMC's already old, you know, and he's injury prone. I mean, he's dealing with probably a lifelong injury, truthfully. George Kittle's old. The defense is, they're just getting rocked right now. I mean, their point difference, that granted, they've only given up 49 points, but they've only put up 59. So again, they're not winning their games much. They won by 1 point over the Cardinals, and the Cardinals, I just don't understand how that game was that close. Honestly, I thought the Cardinals were going to get them. I really didn't expect that the Niners were going to be able to pull that win off. And when they did, it admittedly kind of caught me off guard. And then they won by 1 point. So I was like, well, eh. Mac Jones, though, isn't a terrible quarterback. He came to the Niners, stepped in.
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with good intentions, only to sacrifice nutrition for convenience. Keep your body and mind nourished with whole body meal shakes from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But it actually tastes delicious. Try one of Kachava's indulgent flavors today. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags. Go to kachava.com and use code NEWS. That's KACHAVA.com, code NEWS.
Behind Brock Purdy. If you think about it, the Niners have been a team where backups have risen from the ashes of the starters' failures. Alex Smith was replaced, right? Colin Kaepernick came in. Kaepernick went out. You have had Jimmy Garoppolo. Garoppolo replaced by Purdy. I think there was somebody between. I don't know who was before Garoppolo after Kaepernick, but they've had these constant cycles of the backup quarterback becoming the number one and staying that way. So, like, Brock Purdy is pretty injury prone. He's been hurt, I think, pretty much every year since he's been the starter. And Mac Jones has came out there and done pretty well. And, you know, he's got 563 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 1 interception. I don't think he ever did that halfway that good in a couple of games over in New England. I don't see Mac Jones being a long-term solution, but, you know, when you have what he has to work with, they've done pretty well. They're offensively, you know, of course, not going to bash McCaffrey. Offensively, they've done okay with the rushing game. But he's ran the ball 52 times for 176 yards. It's not that impressive considering he has no touchdowns. Christian McCaffrey now has a touchdown through the air. He's caught the ball 25 times with 213 yards. Ricky Pearsall, 16 catches, 281 yards, 0 touchdowns. Like, Mac Jones is having to work with a very, in my opinion, broken team. What's funny is when you look at the roster, you would sit here and think they'd be going crazy. I mean, Juwan Jennings, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to knock him. He's been doing fairly well this year. 7 catches, 105 yards for one touchdown. But 1 touchdown, they're going into week 4. Again, there's not been much offense generated there. It's been on the back of their defense. Now, Nick Bosa obviously is a difference maker, right? Like, you know, when you look at it from, like, who can make a difference? Well, it's going to be Nick Bosa. But then, hang on, here we go. Nick Bosa's out for the season, if you did not know, sir, with a torn ACL. So you just lost another key piece of your offense. You know, then you go and you look at Fred Warner, your middle linebacker, okay? I mean, he's in his 9th season. He's definitely got some age. He's got a forced fumble. He's got 16 tackles. He's going to be a key component to their linebacking core. Especially with Bosa now gone. I mean, who do you turn to? So their defense is going to be very suspect. Their defense is going to struggle, and it's going to require their offense to pick up the slack. They've done that, but now they're going to have to continue to do that. So I've got them at number 6 because I think where they are right now, they barely beat the Cardinals. Projections, they're going to slide even further down. I don't see them being a top 10 team in the league, and I definitely don't see them being a top 10 team on my list for long. But they have managed to do okay with where we're at right now, and they are undefeated, which at this point, comparatively to the other undefeated teams, they've earned my respect.
I like it. I do. I like the 49ers last year. Don't care too much for him this year, but, you know, it's a toss. So, for number 6, I guess they can stay there.
Yeah. All right, number 7, and I got to go with this. I'm not even going to get into this one, really. I don't think there's much to talk about. I don't think it's going to last, but it's going to be the Colts. They're undefeated. They've actually done really well. They're one of the better teams offensively and defensively. They have 103 points for and 56 against.
I was wondering when you were going to get to the Colts, man. They've been having some of the better games of this of these weeks, you know.
Here's why. And I don't think, again, there's not a lot to say about the Colts. It's because of Jonathan Taylor for the most part. Daniel Jones has only thrown 3 touchdowns. And now granted, he's on 816 yards.
Jonathan Taylor got that one last game.
Jonathan Taylor's on 3 touchdowns. Yeah, he's on 3 touchdowns, 60 attempts, 338 yards. His average isn't bad. Daniel Jones has also ran for 3 touchdowns. That's a big part of the reason they've been so successful is he's very mobile. He's actually doing really well in Indy, something that he was never going to do in New York. But Michael Pittman, he's a great receiver. He's been playing lights out, 16 catches, 193 yards, and 2 tutties. Honestly, they made the right choice not going with Anthony Richardson, especially with Richardson being so prone to injuries. Jonathan Taylor, he's in his 7th year, so he's going to start regressing at some point, but he's got a good chance to help push him there. Michael Pittman, you know, obviously he's good. Josh Downs, another great receiver, but he has to break out if he's going to do anything big this year. He's got 10 targets or 10 receptions on that for 97 yards. It's not enough. Alec Pierce, he's another one that, you know, everyone said target in the fantasy world. He's got 9 catches for 171, which is much better than, you know, what his co-partners have. At least Downs. Warren, I had this conversation with somebody today. They thought he was like the leading tight end for touchdowns. And I'm like, no. In fact, he has got 0 touchdowns. He's got 14 catches, 193 yards. But he's a good, solid option for some of them shorter yardage situations. Their offensive line's not too bad. They've got 2 rookies starting, 1 at center, 1 at right guard. So you got some veterans around them. But, you know, your line is young for the most part. Got some healthiness there. It's something that's helped them. Defense, not a team to necessarily look down on. Tyquan Lewis got 2 sacks so far. Nick Cross, he's got a sack. He's got 14 tackles. And, of course, Cameron Bynum, he's got a good 2 interceptions and a good amount of pass deflections. For 3 weeks in, he's a big part of the reason they've been doing so well defensively. So I don't have a lot to say about them. I think they're on their way to a good year as long as they can stay consistent. But I think Daniel Jones is due to fall even more than he already is because his passing game is not that great. So at number 7, have the Colts. They're undefeated. That is the last undefeated team to talk about on the list. So all of the undefeated teams made it. All 6 of them, but I do think that the Colts are the worst of them and the most likely to fall soon. So number 8, I was torn a little bit on this. Honestly, I think at number 8, I'm going to go with Minnesota. Man, it kills me. It kills me. But the reason I'm saying that is I think they
definitely
just found a gold mine. I think they found a gold mine bringing Carson Wentz up and letting him start. I mean, obviously they had to have somebody start, but and he was the backup. But bringing him up, getting him starting, the man's cooking. He's already cooking. And the Vikings have taken quarterbacks that have been rejects from other teams and turned them around. And that is exactly what I think they should do. I think McCarthy should be sitting the bench for a while and let Carson Wentz cook with Jefferson and let Aaron Jones get back out there, get him going. I think they're another very competitive team. And they came in against the Bengals, battled the backups, and they decimated them. So, number 8, but admittedly, I don't know. I was torn because there was one other team I was wanting to put at number 8, and that was the Commanders. The only thing about, I think, with the Commanders is that if I look and I got them at number 9. I got them at number 9 because I think that...
Hold on, wait. You put the Vikings over the Commanders?
Look at the team.
You're going to have to explain this one, sir.
Okay.
No. Ain't no look at the team.
Yeah, there is.
No!
Yep. You ready? Right. This is the funny part.
Top 10. I'm trying not to interject as much, you're making this difficult.
No. Listen, the Vikings and the Commanders actually are almost identical in points for and points against. There's literally just 1 point difference. So the Commanders have scored one less point than the Vikings, but they've given up only one more point than the Vikings have given up. So there's a two-point net difference there. So when you look at that, it favors the Vikings, of course, but that's not the reason I picked them. I picked them because the Vikings have more potential. Right now, the Commanders have a lot of good-ish players. Debo, he's good. Terry McLaurin, I believe he is fighting an injury, actually. But Jane Daniels not being out there, I'm sorry. Mariota's not going to do what he just did again. No. And when Daniels comes back, we'll have to see how things go. But as it stands, you took a backup from both teams, and they both performed exceptionally well against their opponents. But the Vikings, I feel like, have better command. They have a better overall team. And it's hard because they're so similar in so many ways, which is why their stat lines reflect it. But I feel like the Vikings, comparatively to the Commanders, have a better chance of winning down the stretch. So that just, it's
all
hard.
Right, man. I'm going to let you have it, but let's be clear. That's probably the most disagreeable one I got.
Okay. And number 10, I wanted to put Green Bay in there, man. I did, but I can't.
You bet not.
I got number 10. Number 10 to finish her off for the night. The Los Angeles Rams.
I thought the Rams was never going to make it in there. The Rams are actually impressive this year. They're 2-1.
Yep, they're a dog. The Rams, number 10. Got Puka. You got Devontae. Man,
I told you Devontae was getting in there this year.
Matthew Stafford continues to surprise me. And that defense continues to surprise me. They haven't lit up the board any more so than most teams. They've only scored as a total with the team, 73 points. They've given up 61, so their net is only 12 points. So they've not won most by wide, wide margins.
You could have put the Rams at number 8, sir. Oh my gosh. You could have put the Commanders at number 8 and then the Rams at number 9. And maybe I would have let you get away with putting the Vikings at number 10. But you just jumped the gun, I guess. Nah. But go ahead. Ben's top 10.
I think we'll see how this plays out coming into week 4. But that's all I've got. I don't really have to say much to defend the Rams at number 10. I think that's exactly where they should be. They have a lot still to prove going into this, but they've showed that they're capable. We'll just have to see how their schedule plays out for them. But that's all I've got. That's my top 10. Everybody can let me know if you agree or disagree. You might think I'm crazy. You might have something entirely different. I'm always open to feedback. As you can see, Will and I don't always agree.
That's an understatement, sir.
Indeed. But that's all I've got. You got anything else for the audience?
Not at all. Audience, this was Ben's top 10. Like I said, this is the first of many segments that we're going to start introducing on the show. This gives you a better insight into who we are and a better insight into how we think. And I think that's really important inside of these episodes. So we're going to keep them coming. Make sure you tune into the next episode because we will be introducing where there's a will, there's a way.
Can't wait.
In this segment, we will be talking about everything you want to know about betting. We might even cook up a little parlay or two. So make sure you tune in next episode. Thank you for tuning in to this one.
All right. On that note, see you next time.
Peace.
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with leafy greens and good intentions, only to have our future self sacrifice quality nutrition for the convenience of takeout. Keep your body and mind nourished all day with a whole body meal shake from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But the best part? It actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood-packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai, to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you've got endless ways to personalize your cachava. Whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee, with every 2 scoops of cachava, you're getting 85 plus superfoods, nutrients, and plant-based ingredients. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags with code NEWS at cachava.com. That's 30% off for a limited time at kachava.com, code NEWS.